Okay, it says recording. I mean, this would be very apropos of like our 1970s classic rock bands for it to not work.
Just like 1970s rock bands in the modern day. Okay, that's not fair. That's not fair. It still works. There's a small part of me that I'm just going like, what happened with like music feels like it's the universe. It expands and retracts. You know,
Wait, you
like
have to go, you have to take that metaphor further for me. What do you
I'll
mean?
take it further. I'll take it further.
Yeah, because you literally have gone as large as you could go. Music is like the universe, and then you just stop
First of all, the mu music
it.
is the universe for us. I would argue that's our biggest obsession. I think it was the fact that like listening to Black Sabbath ad nauseum kind of made me go like, oh, music's come a long way. And then it's gone back. And then it's gone further. And then it's gone back to where I'm like, I don't even know where we are right now when it comes to music. Are we in a golden age or are we
No,
in the
I'll answer that
bronze
very
age?
quickly. We are not in a golden age of music. That is easy to say. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law.
And we know our rights. All right, wait. Let's just do this. One, two. I don't know. Why am I counting down?
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Hey, everybody.
Wait, I feel like I need to play therapist for a second because you went through some things. You called me. By the way, hello. My name is Colton.
I'm Rob.
That's Rob. This is, I think we literally just did this in the opening, but
Speaking of, come next year, we're gonna have some major shifts
well, I
going
think
on.
this is all connected. That's what I'm gonna
Okay,
get
all
to
right.
is the, but yeah, this is Know Your Rights, and we are talking about Black Sabbath, but that is in the
Yes.
second segment. First segment, as usual, Rob, you, well, we talked on the phone, which we don't always do for
Yes.
reasons.
What's going on with your phone? Because I had to like, I really had to kind of harass your wife to get a hold of you.
But you didn't really, because
I know I'm
let's
exaggerating.
not.
Hyperbole
I
for
think this
sure.
was in a span of like a couple of minutes. I was swimming this morning, which I don't know if you
Your
can tell my
phone is not
post
working.
swim glow. Oh no, it's working. It just was dead for most of the morning. I don't keep it on me. I didn't have it on me today.
No, not most of the morning. This has been the last few days.
It's been in the garage since Friday.
So it's fried. I mean, it has
No, it's
not.
just dead.
I have called and it's like this phone does not work.
It works. It's just dead.
Okay.
I live. I try to live a life where I do not
I
have
get
my
it.
phone on me for most of
Carrier
my day.
pigeons. I got you, man. But
I'm just saying. I think there's okay. This is not what people called in for. But very
no,
quickly,
nobody tuned in for this,
Colton's
but
theory
they
on
also
getting a
kind of
hold of
did.
people is it's insane that we've all of a sudden opted into a world where everyone can always get a hold of everyone all the time. I hate that, but.
That's a good thing.
We're moving on. I think it's terrible.
In an emergency situation, don't you think that's a good thing that
I think
somebody
we
could get
had
a
a
hold of
whole, and funny enough, we're going to talk about the 1970s. I think we had a
you?
time where things were a little different. And it was a, I feel very old man. I'm like, we used to just get on our bikes and ride around all summer, and our parents didn't
It's
know where we were.
going to take us weeks to find you dead in the bathroom toilet.
My wife will find me dead before she might not tell anyone for
I'm
reasons. I
saying,
don't know.
yeah, she's gonna be like I'm gonna carry on his legacy and not text anybody that this happened.
So wait, now I'm way off
I
base.
know.
What's happening? We are talking
Welcome.
about welcome. We are talking about Black Sabbath.
Yes.
We talked, and that's where we got off the rails. We
Okay.
did talk on
Okay.
the cell phone, myself or my wife's cell phone and your cell phone.
Yeah.
You went through some things with this Black Sabbath. When we started this podcast, we went through a lot of different possible versions of what this would look like. We knew what it was ultimately going to be, but we went through a lot of versions of do we do whole albums? Do we do songs? Do we do, I think what we initially settled on, and I think if you listen to episode one, Everybody Weezer, which does it hold up?
I think it does. I actually, I was pleasantly surprised the last time that I just went, okay, where did this all come from? because we're on episode 65, 66, something like that.
Whereabouts, yeah.
So I was like, that's a lot of episodes. How did this start? And going back and listening, I was like, that's not terrible. To be fair, we made improvements, and we may have also we may have also crumbled a little bit.
I was going to say, listening to the first segment of that first episode, I'm like, we sound so uncomfortable, but I also think, do I sound better now? And I actually do think if I wanted to try to record that same Weezer output with you today, would I be any better? Would I be any more capable of summing up what that band's output is? I don't think so. But that was like our first kind of like, let's just dive into it. And then we've made adjustments. We have, I think our limit is 4 to 5 albums when we do a discography.
It was our limit,
And I think there's actually a good sublist that we could make if we wanted to spend the energy, which I don't think either of us do, of bands that have probably fared the worst because of our format. A couple I could name off the top of my head are like The Hives.
Okay. Which I had a good time. This is also where it kind of gets complicated.
Well, and this thing, I think I had a good time with The Hives because I knew going in that I liked The Hives. But listening to those Hives records back to back to back, which I ended up doing. And like, you know, in that point, it was still 2 weeks between that we had to listen to these.
Yeah.
There's bands that I think rely on a certain formula. And as solid as it might be, those bands tend to fare the worst. Is there a band that comes to mind for you?
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
I was a little too quick on that. Sorry. Yeah. But you kind of beat me to the punch. It's more like I told you yesterday. I don't know why we keep doing that. Like I told you in the previous conversation, we should just pretend that this is off
that's
the
just
cuff.
Today. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But listening. I know
then
I
why
love
talk
Black.
To me on the cell phone. Sorry. Moving on.
How dare you? just in case there's an emergency, Colton. But listening to Black Sabbath over the last few days, I was like, I know I like Black Sabbath, but listening to them this much is making me dislike. Like all of a sudden, Tony Iommi with his like overdub guitar solos is driving me effing crazy. And that is kind of hypocritical on my end because Default American does it all the time. But nobody's listening to Default American for an entire weekend.
I actually, in my
which
notes,
is my band, by the way, everybody.
Oh, yeah. In my notes, I had somewhere in there, I owe Rob an apology, which was like
for many things. What specifically?
I think it was, I'm not going to name the track yet because I'm going to bring it up in a later one. But I remember thinking, wow, they really just said, okay, Tony, go. And they like left to go do something else.
Is it the last song on the first album?
We'll save it. We'll save it.
It's the last song on the first album, I'm certain.
Okay, we're not saving it. But
bunch of forward slashes.
But there were times where I thought that. But yeah, we have already discussed and I think relatively agreed on a format going forward that's going to give, although I think these episodes hold up. And
it's not going forward from here. It's going to be going forward for next year. Next year, we got some fun changes to bring in.
Whether or not our friendship survives to next year is...
Our friendship will survive. The podcast is really where it gets taxing.
No, we're... So, yeah, that is something we have considered, and I do think... I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, these things are great to me because I think it's always a little bit of a stress test on the songwriting as well. Like one thing I will say is that genuinely like talented songwriters that we've covered, this format has not been an issue. I think the formulaic, which those bands to me tend to fall in the middle of what we've considered like a scale, like in that way, I don't think truly great bands to me have sounded worse from listening to their music the way that we have. I think, and this is my take on it, the kind of the bands that are so reliant on a certain mode of writing. And another one I'm thinking of that I had trouble with was Rage Against the Machine, which is funny enough, I think it's a lot of like riff heavy bands where I think listening to it in such quick succession, even though again, going in, like you said, I was like, oh yeah, I like Rage Against the Machine. And I didn't come away from that hating them. but there was a lot of, man, I'm just getting beat over the head.
That's kind of it. Yeah, it's just like the constant just like fucking slap in the face of, okay, it kind of takes away from what really gave it so much gravity. With Black Sabbath, I'm sure, I think you brought this up yesterday when we talked, where it was these four albums that we're going to do. Everybody, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Master of Reality, and Volume
Snowblind.
4.
Snowblind. I'm gonna honor them, Snowblind, because honestly, what else but cocaine can you attribute to that record?
It's very, very
in so astute. Many ways, Snowblind is actually the perfect
by System of a Down. Yes, I like their cover.
Yeah.
But listening to them, it's like, while it is in a very short time frame that those, what is it, within 2 years, mm-hmm. that these four albums come out, I still just feel like I'm like, I got to have space between listening to these albums just to give Tony Iommi, give Geezer. Yeah. You know me with names, song titles, names.
Well, I just think it's funny because he's like, yeah, it's just, I was from, I can't remember what it, Birmingham or something. He's like, yeah, we're just Geezer.
Yeah. But it's like, I got to give them a little bit of time to, like, let this album marinate. Let this next album marinate. Like just make it to where it's like listening to them back to back. All of a sudden I go like, oh, One Trick Ponies.
Well, there's right? a few things to add to that. In this conversation we're having right now, mm-hmm. I'm commiserating with what you're saying because I've definitely gone through it too. And for the record, not just with heavy bands, another band I'm just thinking of was Milk Carton Kids, where,
oh man,
like,
yeah,
love
that
Milk
was
Carton
rough
Kids.
And they're great.
Love them.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was, you start to think, especially in those earlier records that I used to really love, like Michigan, I was amazed mm-hmm. how much less impressive that record felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, just in the whole gauntlet of that. But I'm commiserating with you. I had a blast these 4 weeks.
I really loved, honestly, I
love all four of these records in like a way where I actually, like, you and I talked and I thought I agreed with you, and I went back and I went, oh shoot, no, this rips. I don't know. So I don't know if I necessarily have the exact same take on this experience. But I definitely agree with you because I have been in your position. And
well, now
sucks.
I feel like I got to cover my own ass. I love Black Sabbath, everybody. At least I love Ozzy Osbourne.
You and I have never
Black
talked about Black Sabbath before, right? Like, I've never even heard you. And I'm not saying that I don't think either of us, I don't want to get presupposed. I don't think either of us attribute a lot of our musical DNA to Black Sabbath.
I am, like I said, like you said, some of the guitar stuff, I'm like, oh, that's me. That's what I do. The overdub guitar solos.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, I do that all the time. I may have unconsciously just ripped off Tony Iommi.
Well, but, honestly, I think a lot of people have.
Yeah, that's right. They're influential. They're groundbreaking. But, you know, that was, what, 50 years ago?
Well, and you were saying like the whole idea of like a one-trick pony. By the way, everybody, this is usually like a second segment conversation, but it's fresh. We got it.
Yeah, it's fresh.
We
still got sports talk. Hang in.
Four records. Well, yeah. Four records in 2 years is what we listen to. So the idea that the records all have a relative sameness to them is, in my head, somewhat forgivable considering that output and that amount of time. But it's also, I don't know, it's funny. I think when we get into the second segment, I have a lot of interesting Led Zeppelin comparisons that I want to run by you.
Interesting.
There were times, it went both ways, where I listened to something and thought, I would rather Led Zeppelin do this and not them. And other times where I thought, oh, they do this better than Zeppelin. Like,
I'm very intrigued.
Like, there's an interesting back and forth there that I wasn't expecting.
I almost want to like push ahead. There was just one point before you hit record that I just wanted to say. And guys, this is just my last, I shouldn't say last, but this is just a quick sports talk. Mookie Betts went to shortstop because he wanted to kind of have a Shohei Ohtani thing. where it's like I can go from right field to shortstop and still be a good ball player. It's not working out, but I think he did that just because he had that little, like, I'm the star of the team. Oh, shit, Otani's on this team. Now I got to find some way to be comparable to, like, defensive shift.
I don't agree with that at all.
Fuck off.
But, well, how? It's a weird take, but
it's not that
weird. I respect it. Well, because he originally was moved to shortstop for other reasons. Like, who was it they had before? And they had to, well, because the whole reason he moved to short is because, oh my goodness, what is his name? A guy who's on the Reds right now. He got traded.
Oh.
Gavin, no. Lux.
Great sports talk.
I didn't even want to talk about this. Now I'm like, who is it?
Yeah, this is my fault.
Yeah, Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux was the shortstop on the Dodgers.
I thought he was really the second baseman.
He was the shortstop like two spring trainings ago.
Yeah.
They had Mookie at short because they didn't have a second baseman, and they thought they could get his bat without having to move to get like a sub-batting second baseman. And then Gavin Lux had like the worst spring training. I watched those games. He couldn't make it to first. And so they had a conversation with Mookie and he switched for them because they didn't have any other options. That's where that all started. Why, that wasn't Mookie.
Then why is he not in right field right now? Because our right fielder is a good batter, but
because they thought Michael Conforto
fielder.
Could hit.
He wasn't going to be our right fielder. I've never seen him in right field.
They were going to move everybody over one. They thought they could get away with it because Conforto could bat.
Mookie is... He's contending with Shohei.
Like, your mouth is moving, but I hear Colin Cowherd's voice, my friend. Please no.
Let's go into our break.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just base in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of The Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball and Entertainment podcast.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So if that last segment wasn't that good, my car has been down, so I had to go for like a 2-mile hike in Lancaster weather to my local grocery store. So there might have been a little bit of heat stroke on my end.
I did talk to you while you were doing that. I never heard that amount of physical exertion coming from that end of the phone.
It's been a while since I've gone on one of those treks where all of a sudden I got back and I was like, I'm winded. All I was doing was walking. It's not even that much, but oh yeah, no. Heat is real. Everybody drink water.
Drinking, guys. It's delicious.
You know what? I'm going to water it up with you right now, too.
Toast to that.
Toast. Mother Earth. Which, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Sabbath at one point call themselves Earth?
Is that what happened? I don't know. Or did they cover a song by a band named Earth?
Oh, I thought they were. I thought one of their earlier names was Earth. Yeah. Colton's Googling it right now. So I'll try to fill in the time while he's Googling that. Happy Kobe Day to anybody. Because I know that they were like...
Oh, no, there were two bands.
Okay.
This is weird. There's a band named Earth, and then Black Sabbath initially was called Earth, but changed their name to avoid confusion with the band called Earth.
Okay, cool. See, the heat strokes, it's not... I don't have a heat stroke.
This is quite confusing, but...
So, Colton, I'm assuming that you chose Sabbath because we lost Ozzy recently.
Yes. I mean, that's the most obvious reason why he was on my mind. I think it was also like we've done heavy bands, and I don't think we've done like I've had different like heavy metal-esque bands in my head that I'd be interested in doing with you. And mm-hmm. I think Sabbath was like the most obvious choice to do that anyway, because it's arguably where, I mean, we've done Led Zeppelin. We've talked about how a lot of like heavy rock stuff comes. I mean, I thought of Dazed and Confused more than a few times in listening to some of these. I still think Dazed and Confused does a level of heavy.
It's a killer tune. And there are a lot of similarities. I can definitely draw a line straight to Sabbath and straight to Zeppelin, where it's like you guys are kind of sharing a similar sound in
right.
the moment.
Yeah. But I think talking about Sabbath to me was interesting, or would be interesting, because there's my own complex relationship with like metal music, which is that I've just never been a metal person. Although there mm-hmm. are bands that speak to me at levels that I'm like into, and I like heavy music. I think this podcast wouldn't believe
I like heavy music. I don't know. That's for sure.
Listening to Sabbath was me getting another window into, I don't know, both how much they did, but also in a lot of ways, how little metal has grown. Does that make sense? Like, they feel weirdly contemporary in moments when I think mm-hmm. of certain metal bands where I can like draw like a really straight line to. And I don't know, it's hard because on the whole, I can't listen to a ton of metal.
Preparation G, I got
just
you.
Can't do it.
No, I agree. The thing I like about Sabbath is, even though they are considered, you know, like revolutionaries when it comes to metal as an art form and really as an established genre, the thing I really like is that they're not limited to that. Whereas a lot of metal bands, I think, that we grew up with, it's like they can't step away. I mean, we talked with Max last episode about Slipknot. You know, it took Slipknot a while to finally go like, okay, let's put an acoustic song in here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's do something that is not just our identity is purely metal. To where I think Sabbath, while they were influential to the metal scene, some of my favorite moments are when they go the complete opposite route. You may bring up Changes. I don't know for sure, but
it's in there somewhere, I think. Yeah.
But it's like Changes, Orchid. There's another song that's kind of escaping
me. It's
like
a Planetary Caravan.
Planetary Caravan is exactly what I'm thinking.
Solitude-ish. Yeah, but Planetary Caravan for sure.
Yeah, but the Planetary Caravan and Solitude, those are two songs where I'm like, this is beautiful. This is like really a nice little escape from the horror, doomy vibe that they are really well known for. But I just appreciated that they do that, because I'm like, it's great that they are such a megalith when it comes to the metal scene and what they actually mean to that. I was a little more impressed with the fact that they could kind of take it a step down to our long story. I think that there's a little bit of guilt by association for Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, where it's just like, you guys did inspire some shitty music.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad bands that have come out of and like learned the wrong lessons from. Mm-hmm. And we have played a lot of shows with those bands. Not
we won't
to name
say
any names.
Yeah, we won't say anybody specifically.
Mostly because I can't name any like off the top of my head, other than like, during the show turning you and going, this band's bad.
They were very forgettable. Yeah.
No, but
and that's where they stopped listening.
And here. But I think the other cool part of this, and something I wasn't expecting going in, I think if anyone's seen the Metalocalypse episode, where they have to learn how to play the blues. You remember that episode?
I love that show.
Blues.
Yeah.
And then they have a kind of like bluesish thing. What you kind of, if like you're unfamiliar with like sort of music history and that, and the way that like rock and roll develops, like it all mm-hmm. comes out of the blues, right? And
it's very pentatonic.
And so when you hear enough Black Sabbath, and it's the same thing when we were talking about Led Zeppelin and The Who to a point, like there's more Who than I was expecting from this Sabbath listen. But you hear how much of the blues are actually there, especially on that first record. I mean, the Wizard's the obvious choice there with the harmonica and that, which
cool tune.
It's cool.
That's Ozzy on the harmonica. Oh, he actually wrote something.
Yes, right. I know. I have some Ozzy comments for this. Yeah. Right. Weirdly enough, like I thought of them because he passed away. I have some good things to say, but I don't know. Well, I'll save some of what I have. But
he's a voice. There we go.
But I do think that was kind of cool, and you kind of lose that. You can, even in 2 years, by the time they get to Volume 4, I hear more psychedelics than blues, which like in both ways, both in psychedelic rock and also like literally I hear them taking
on psychedelics. Yes. Very, very, very drug fueled. There are a couple of times to where like listening to it, I was like, they're on drugs writing songs for people on drugs. You know,
did the track FX not get you into that?
That was going to be my honorable mention for worst song. I'm like, we get it. Maybe I'm just like a little too modern to where I'm like, you could do even more effects if you really want this to be called effects. But that song was obnoxious.
It feels like a trap because I think the trap of that song is if you say this is stupid, then someone who's like, well, of course it's stupid. That's the point. Like, what are you so upset about? And I'm like, but it is stupid.
And pointless.
Be there. Yeah.
I literally tried playing the track before, skipping effects and going into the next track. And I was like, that flowed.
That was
perfectly fine. No need for this. But they just wanted to eat up a little bit of vinyl.
And I'm sure there's like, this is another band where the history and like the mythology behind Sabbath is kind of like overwhelming. And I think, you know, Zeppelin is like that as well. But just like reading snippets of a lot of the stories of like, for example, didn't they like try to spray paint Bill Ward with gold, like while he was passed out drunk? And then they didn't realize that that's like the whole point of that thing, Goldfinger, where he was like, the person was actually asphyxiating from not being covered with paint and he almost died.
That doesn't sound apocryphal to me. That sounds like it's actually fact.
Straight up bananas. Yeah. Straight up bananas. But there is music also. But yeah, I'm excited to hear some of your categories because knowing what the experience was like for you, I would bet that we still end up with the same stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if we end off agreeing. There might be some 3-2-1s ahead of
also,
us.
Also, just for the record, buddy, 7-2 Dodgers. We're good.
All right. Wait, what inning?
End of the eighth, going into the ninth.
All right. The bullpen should be able to pull that off. All
right. Okay. Everyone, knock on wood. The people who are listening to this 2 weeks from now are going, oh, you sad.
No, they fucked up. They're last in the division
sad,
now.
Sad buddies. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. We're going to break into our categories now.
Yes,
we have, as usual, worst song, underrated, overrated, and then end with best, although we should probably start with underrated for fun, and then best album, worst album of these four. I think a lot of the overall rankings I saw there, and I'm not familiar with Dio Sabbath at all.
Same.
Like Heaven and Hell seems to come up a lot, and I have not heard that record, but
the only familiarity I have with Dio is Tenacious D.
That's
Dio, can you hear me?
and Holy Diver, which, you know.
Oh, Holy Diver, you're right. Which is a bad song.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Hearing people say the Dio Sabbath is great, I'm like, that doesn't bode well for late Sabbath to me.
And we'll get to late Sabbath in just our four albums on why I'm like, hey, late Sabbath doesn't bode well on my end.
That's fair. Yeah. So let's start, I guess, most diplomatically with underrated.
Underrated.
We're not starting with worst, which sounds aggressive. Underrated, which of course changes every time we talk about it, but usually Spotify is involved, but not in this case.
Yeah, this time around, very limited on Spotify and Wikipedia. You would not like the way I research Sabbath.
My initial, you were asking me if changes was going to come up. Initially, I had changes as underrated, and it was only because I think in the year of our Lord 2025, a lot of millennials and below know of Changes, mainly not because Kelly Osbourne and Ozzy Osbourne did a terrible cover of it, which
terrible. Yeah.
But because of Charles Bradley, right?
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought him up. That his cover, sorry, Ozzy, sorry, Tony, because I know that was actually like the four of them working on it together.
Right.
Like Tony Iommi came up with the piano part, and Ozzy kind of was messing around with the melody.
Butler did the lyrics.
Yeah, Butler did the lyrics as per usual. And I have no idea what Ben Ward was doing.
I think actually Bill Ward sat out on this.
Bill Ward.
And it could be because he was apparently very drunk during this record.
During those records?
During those records.
Charles Bradley's cover, I'm just like, give it to him. That's his.
So here's my reason I initially had it for underrated is I actually like the arrangement. Comparing Charles Bradley and Ozzy Osbourne as vocalists is absurd.
Apples and oranges, yeah.
If you hear, for a lot of reasons, but also Charles Bradley is an amazing vocalist. Like, that's what he does.
Amazing vocalist.
And it's you know, that part of it I'm not going to dive into. But the arrangement... I like the Sabbath arrangement. I like the Mellotron. I like that coupled with the... I think that was smart. And it's funny because they said, I think something along the lines of, oh, we're never going to like play this with strings and stuff. Like, we're going to stay Sabbath. And then on that same record, they have that terrible Laguna orchestral instrumental. I'm like, well, what about that song? That song's terrible.
It is.
Straight up garbage.
But on the plus side, I mean, Changes really changes that album, like, or it kind of starts shoving it towards good stuff.
It is, and I at least to me, I had always rated that Bradley cover as just better. Full stop. I actually think I would prefer the Sabbath version, only because I think it's kind of a cooler arrangement. The soul arrangement on that Bradley track, to me, the horns and stuff, it actually ends up being too much.
That's fair. It's kind of the Charles Bradley flowers, Charles Bradley.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, his is a little bit more trying to dive into a more of a Motown-y, how Motown would have done this.
Yeah.
Whereas I am very impressed by the Black Sabbath version because it's Black Sabbath making that.
Yeah.
You know, like they're really going away from this doom and gloom metal sound.
And are they ever that restrained? Like on... Like, I think people mentioned like Planetary Caravan, but like they're not a band where I think they tell themselves no a lot with what they do.
Very good way of putting that.
For that track to come out that way, although I'm going to throw one last little mean Colton barb. Is the song good? I don't know if the song is good. I know it is.
I would say that it's
compelling.
That's a good word too. It's compelling. It's kind of...
I feel unhappy.
Well, when we get into
so sad.
When we get into the doggerel lyrics of it all, they're not good lyrically. Nothing against Butler. The lyrics are just so trite and so obvious throughout most of their songs. But there is kind of a cool moment to where it's like, she was my woman.
Yeah, yeah.
I was her man. At least that was avoided.
They made some kind of opt out. I don't know. Like I was with you. Like I was like picking through the desert to find lyrics I thought I would like be able to jive with. I think it's one of those songs where the illusion of it, like the arrangement, everything, it builds up this wall where you're not really realizing, oh, maybe this song is bad. And even the Bradley version, I had those moments of like, oh, it's like, it's a really great cover of a song that at its core, is it good? But I feel like I should just say this is my underrated. My initial underrated was Super Not.
Super Not, that is a turning point on the album for me. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, but that was a turning point on that album for me. Where I'm like, that's a good, good tune. Good riffing.
And those lyrics are actually pretty good on Super Not.
Yeah.
The drum breakdown is cool. I love that riff a lot. Mm-hmm. And I kept hearing people defending Ozzy Osbourne online of like, you know, because you know, Butler writes the lyrics and Tony Iommi's got the riffs and everything, and everyone goes, but no one gives Ozzy Osbourne credit for his melodies. And I do think he has some good melodies, but I also think he tends to just follow what the guitar does.
Thank you.
in really boring ways.
Going back to it, what I told you yesterday, I was like, I can only take so much of a guy singing along to a guitar riff. I got to take a break.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that was the one I was like, actually, hey, I can roll with that record because songs like that, I think, are pretty great. But what is your underrated?
My underrated, and I also just want to say that I'm Going Through Changes, I think, is a really good, the lyric works for the melody.
That is good. Yeah.
I do feel that. My underrated is a little tough here. So I wanted to go The Wizard, but we already talked a little bit, The Wizard. But I'll go to the same album, Nib.
Nib is good.
Now, this is tough for anybody listening along. 4 minutes in. I found the timestamp, Colton. It's 4 minutes into Wasp /blankety-blank boundaries or something like /.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that song is actually, I think that's a really cool dynamic that they have in there. The devil falling in love and becoming a good person because he fell in love. I think that's actually kind of a fun story arc to a song. Again, still very doggerel lyrics.
Feels very like kind of playing with your action figures in your bedroom.
It's true.
But cool.
But I mean, like the way the vocals progress, I mean, the guitar is a classic riff.
Yeah. See, and this is the other one where this is like on that first record, and I guess a little on the, God, man. I wouldn't say Master of Puppets. What is happening? On Paranoid 2.
Yeah.
Like, I think when they're out of the metal mode and they're into more like psychedelic rock / like proto punk, like that's what I think of when I hear Nib. Like the da na 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 da na na.
Yeah, it's very Smoke on the Water. It's that type of guitar riff, you know. It's like teach anybody trying to learn guitar, let's do this. Initially,
but works.
It works, and then it hits that big like your loving. Nah. I can't remember the lyrics specifically because they're not that memorable, but like that melody over it and like kind of that like dragged out part, that's good songwriting. And the downside of it, the reason it has to be underrated to me is I'm like, because it's trapped in this bullshit medley thing.
And is this where the format we're talking about doesn't do it favors? Because if I was just listening to this record on vinyl, for example, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't matter as much if you're just in it, except
sure.
that stuff isn't necessarily good. Like having that like long bass thing and then having the like long guitar noodling.
Yeah.
Like you kind of hit warning
on this album. On this particular album, on the self-titled, at the end of the album, there is a moment there where I'm like, why am I still here? You know, like, this is stupid, man. This is going a little crazy. It's good for a live performance. And to be fair, I think a lot of the nuance behind the first album is they weren't writing it to be like, hey, everybody, sit down and listen to our record. It's more like, come see us. We're going to put on a show. You know, so that's where I could understand what was happening. And again, this isn't even reflecting on the song that I chose for underrated.
Right.
But just there are certain moments where I'm like, this is better suited for a live situation, or I'm really high.
I think it actually is very connected to what your choice is, because that's the whole problem, right? They have some really great songs buried in, and you know, granted it's the first record where I think they even said they were like piecing things together, right, to record and that, but I think that's the penchant of like 70s, like that kind of that era of classic rock.
Yeah,
at times I was like, how come rock and roll isn't ambitious anymore? Like I had that thought. I was like, these, like,
okay,
when we were talking about the kind of, I'll say, big three of like that ilk of rock, not counting the Beatles or those guys, but like Zeppelin, The Who, and Sabbath, right? Those are
okay.
Three of like moving into the 70s, like those kinds of like huge
yeah.
rock icons.
Yeah, we're going right? to carry this along. Yeah,
right. Whatever you want to say about some of the output of what they were doing in like the 70s and that, it was like ambition. It was, and like Queen is in there too, right? That's like
yeah.
real like vision of what they want a song to be. And like, I honestly, this is like totally naive Colton, I didn't realize how proggy Sabbath wanted to be at different points. Like I heard Coheed like multiple times.
I can see that.
So at times I was thinking that, man, there's so much ambition. But at other times I was like, they do not respect my time, like at all.
There was a moment, and again, it's going to the last track on the self-titled, where I was like, 14 minutes of my life.
Yeah. And you and I aren't like, we don't like hate right out of pocket longer songs.
No.
Like, done well, they're very exciting.
That's the thing. It's the done well, the flow, the ebb and flow of it all. And on that last track, I'm just like, dude, this is herky jerky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of herky jerky on some of their some stuff.
In keeping with what I literally just said, my overrated is a 3-minute song.
I want a 3-2 on this.
Okay.
I think
three,
we might.
3-2-1. Paranoid.
Oh, okay. You're going Paranoid. All right.
Yeah, yeah. What were you gonna go with?
You go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Iron Man.
Okay,
it was
okay,
Iron
okay.
Man.
I honestly, this is like a classic, not a bad song, just overrated. Because I do like that song, but I do think it's the fact that it's 3 minutes is great. If it was longer, I actually. It's doesn't do a lot. It's the melody, right? The da 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 da. Like that's, and the riff is cool. There's cool things in it.
Yeah.
But it also feels very like Black Sabbath light. Like how do we? Which is funny because literally that's what it was. They didn't have a single. Yeah. We were just talking about this with Dancing in the Dark, right? And in this case, of course, it worked. It's a huge song. And I love that they stopped playing it, or they didn't like, they didn't want to record another single like it when they saw people dancing to it at their shows, which I appreciate.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool.
That I can see that happening, but it just feels too much like trying to condense what they do up until that point into what feels like a kind of mutable track like that. And after that, they never really do that again. I feel like they kind of learn from it. So I don't know, like if you're only listening to Paranoid, to me, that's not what makes Sabbath good. And so it feels like a weird, for that song to be so huge is just strange.
I think it makes sense that it's that big just because, it, like you said, it's concise, it's quick, it's to the point. I can see reasons to think that that's the overrated song, except for my overrated song is the right overrated song. But that guitar solo, I love the two tones that they have, to where it's like, I don't know if it's like the wah pedal is rolled back, but there's like that secondary track to where it's the two guitars playing together, but that other one is so muddy and so just almost, you can't recognize the notes, but it just adds to it. That's the part where, because I was really close to choosing that song as well. But just during that guitar solo, I was like, that's really clever tonality going on in this moment. Yeah. But I mean, like, to me, I think it's actually some of the stronger lyrics, which isn't saying much.
It's, yeah, how do I put it? It's not even like, I enjoy listening to it, and I was excited to listen to it when we were starting to do this, because it's always been one that's kind of been immediately in my brain when I think of Sabbath. I think it's more, I wasn't expecting to be as taken with some of the other stuff they were doing that was heavier and a little more expansive. And I think that record's a good example. Like there's stuff on that record that I'm like, that's so freaking good. And I'm into it. And it's doing more with what it has. But I don't know. Like classic, not a bad song. But if that's the only song you've heard of Sabbath, listen to at least two more.
Except for Iron Man.
So you don't think it's good? Is this like worst song territory, or is it literally, is it the Marvel of it all?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with Marvel specific.
Okay.
But I think the song starts off great. You know, like that is a cool, like, and it's even, it's really fun hitting that because it comes straight out of, what track does Iron Man follow? So it follows Planet Caravan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of a sudden hitting that like, Iron Man. I'm just like, okay, this is kind of fun. And then, you know, the riff kicks in and it's like, okay, I do feel that riff. That riff is an undeniable riff.
Oh, and then those flames.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that vocal melody right when it kicks in, I'm just like, this is actually really obnoxious. This isn't writing 101. This is writing in high school. Like, this is junior high songwriting. I'm like, dude, seriously, four-year-olds write vocal melodies to this.
The melody, same way. This is where the Ozzy Osbourne of like, but he was coming up with these melodies that were, and he did write some lyrics, I'm aware of, sure. But yeah. It's weird because there are melodies of his, and I'm going to talk about one in a second here, where I'm like, that is fire, and I get it. Like, yeah. I honestly do, but I do think of the four, his role to me feels the most overblown in those first four records. And
I can agree.
Blasphemous as it wants to sound, I'm really sorry.
He's not listening right now.
No, oh, buddy.
I mean, I don't think. Maybe he is. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
But I mean, yeah. And also, when he's singing in that lower register,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the one thing when I was mentioning Supernaut, his vocals are on a higher register there. That's really good. And there are parts. It's funny. We were talking about Warning. Like, there's a good song in Warning. And like, his vocals there have that kind of raspy. They're blue. I mean, it's a blues song, right?
Yeah.
And there's some cool, like almost kind of Robert Plant-esque stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it's that low drone that he does, and there's others I have on here. Electric Funeral.
Electric Funeral is exactly what I was thinking of. Electric Funeral.
It's like a Vin Diesel thing. And I'm like, that, yeah, that I agree with that. Although I like Iron Man.
The thing is, like, I think Electric Funeral and Iron Man, it's like there's a silliness to it that kind of keeps it going. Or it's like the song doesn't take itself too serious, so it's fine. Just Iron Man seemed like the perfect choice for Overrated Tour. It's what you said. Like, if that's your shit, listen to a few more songs.
It was definitely on that list for me, except I'm charmed by it more than I am paranoid, I think is the deal. I think the thing with Iron Man that I found so charming is it's actually genuinely like an interesting story. Like, in it, yeah. It's like, oh, he's trying to save the world and they don't realize it. And then he destroys the world. I don't know. There's something weirdly...
Very comic book.
Yeah.
Very comic book. But and on the plus side, the outro of that song is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even though I'm not going to lie, I started getting a little worn out by Tony Iommi and overdubbed guitars, but still, the outro of that song is good. So again, everybody, Overrated does not mean bad.
I think that's more than fair. I think
speaking of bad.
Yeah, we're on the worst song. Yeah. I've been taking the lead here. I want to hear your worst song, buddy.
Wheels of Confusion. First of all, that opens the album off to where I'm like, this doesn't even sound like an album opener.
I went back and listened to it again after we talked, and I know I mentioned this before. This is the album where, is it Tony Iommi takes over production? And I heard a remastered version, and I'm like, the mixing on this record is so weird.
it's a little bizarre. Right. There's so much like tempo shifts in the song. Mm-hmm. And when it hits that little like arpeggiated thing, give me one second here. It really annoys the hell out of me. Where I'm like, this isn't good. It does... It does.
Do you have a timestamp for that?
I will. The song is just a hot mess. Okay, it's right around 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yeah, it just, the song is so chaotic, and I'm sure that that was the intention. You know, I don't think that they just kind of like pieced it together, but like, I feel like how boring the guitar riff is to start with, and like, bam, ba-da, bam, bam, ba-da. I'm like, just stick with that. But instead, they try to just attach all of these little progressive ideas to it. And it just doesn't feel like it's part of a whole. It just feels like this song was literally pasted together. Mm. And they must have had a good time. I can see how, like, if somebody has heard this song 50 times, and it's like, oh, yeah, this part happens. But none of it feels, there's no fluidity. And I know that they have plenty of songs where there's tempo changes. But the fluidity factor doesn't come into effect for me.
There's some rough, and I'm not just talking about this song specifically, mm-hmm. but there are definitely some rough transitions where it just feels like, almost like Bill Ward didn't know a change was coming. And I wish I could like yes. think of one, but it's almost
Snowblind.
Like,
Snowblind okay. is the, that pops into my head immediately.
We're almost like everyone kind of looked at him in the room like, we're doing this now. And he did a, like, okay. There's no like crash. There's no fill. It's just like, oh, okay.
I'll just keep my right hand to the tempo and I'll add in the left stuff.
And Bill Ward is very, like, there's some stuff he does that I'm like, that's cool, man. Like, I think my first thing I remember reading about him as a drummer was in Revolver. They're doing like a whole retrospect on the first Black Sabbath record. And they're talking about how he was unable to play a straightforward 4/4. Like, he swung everything. And that's actually, cool.
Yeah.
And like, in a way where it almost sounds like it was like a criticism. And I actually, going back to it, when I hear a lot of this stuff, I'm like, but that's what makes it cool. And it's weird that metal now is so mathematical.
Very, yeah, mathematical, like right on the nose. That's something I really love about his drumming, is he keeps, there's the human aspect to it. And right. honestly, when it comes to every Sabbath song, I actually love the fact that they have, they're humans.
And I think it's funny, there's more Keith Moon here than I was expecting, because I think like John yeah. Bonham, like the whole thing about him is how like solid he is as a drummer. And it's just like that backbone, like playing right to what the song needs. And he, like, Bill Ward is in the mix, but songs like this, I don't think he, it's like you were talking about like the whole arpeggio part. Da-na-na-na. Like, it's just the guitar. The bass isn't doing it with him, right? It's just kind of stopping. And then it does the real root notes with the drummer and it comes back in again. It's weird.
Maybe not weird. I think the word I had was awkward.
That's yeah.
The entire song is just so awkward.
I've been called both, so it's a,
but like, that's what just kind of, it kind of irked me listening to it, you know? It's an awkward start to the album. Awkward transitions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I hated the
outro part, where I hate the fact that they name those forward slashes, like, because the straight is supposed to be the title for the outro musical section. It is good, but please stop fucking naming the outros. And to be fair, my favorite song, they named the outro, so it's whatever.
I have a very quick three for worse. Three was warning.
Three. Okay.
Only because of how long it takes to get to what should be a pretty cool bluesy tune at the end. I was born without you, baby. Like that whole thing. I'm like, that's kind of cool. And it's kind of a nice companion to The Wizard, but it's all the noodling. And like I've already mentioned, it's just, it's not
that
fun. Like when it's
solo
just
section.
Him playing by himself. And then he just starts to play, like he comes out and it comes back in like centered in the mix. It was in the left or something, right?
Yeah.
And then it moves. And I'm like, so what's that about?
And the shitty thing is when the freaking band kicks in, I'm like, we still have more guitar soloing going on here. Like, what are we doing? We've already felt it.
For number two, I had literally all passing track instrumentals except one. Except Rat Salad.
All
other instrumentals, I was like, you know, and even ones that I think are pleasant. Like Orchid. What's the one that's good lord, man?
That's all right.
I think it's on that record too. Embryo. Yeah.
Embryo.
There's cool things, and luckily they're relatively short, but on the whole, It makes me think of our record Cosmopolitan we did for my friend Sam. We were so jazzed about having these passing tracks. And we've already talked about those being a relatively bad idea for the most part. Yeah, right. Listening to these records, I'm like, I wish I had listened to these first.
we might have turned our ideas around there. Yeah.
But number one is After Forever.
Okay.
I think to explain myself on this,
the riff is so cool.
That kind of open string, like I know it's like a slide, right? Honestly, that's the only thing the song has going for it is the riff. And there's like a little breakdown in the middle. Honestly, it's the lyrics. And it's, to me, the song's kind of cowardly. Like it's this very, like, Christian heavy.
I was about to say, let's just dive
into it. It's all about, like, I think it feels very reactionary, like them getting, like, accused of being Satanists, which, I mean, guys. I mean, yeah. But also.
Sure. Well, it's a horror aspect. But, I mean, Geezer Butler.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep calling him Gizzard.
That's fine.
But he was a devout Catholic.
Oh, they're all like religious. It's just, I don't know. What a bummer. Like, what a bummer to write a song about this.
It's again, I'm okay with the message. It's just like the delivery is horrible.
I'm not even sure if I'm okay with the message because it's very like punching down to me. Like the whole, I think that's the issue with, I don't know.
Are you saying like Christians punching down to atheists?
Well, it's like they're saying, you know, oh, you're doing the popular thing. I'm like, I don't think it's ever been that popular to go against, especially in the 70s, like the Catholic Church necessarily. I don't know. It's also weirdly repetitive. And like that riff is great. And like when I first heard it, I was like,
I'm glad we can agree on that riff because that riff is cool.
It's just I would rather have nerdy, like playing in the park with your like occult toys Sabbath then I think I've talked to you about Christian music before this podcast of like songs about faith and songs about religion like can be really cool. This feels preachy in a way that also in like accusatory like
there's a little weird. Bit of like the didactic approach to it to where
you don't like the Catholic, and I know there's some issues with the church that are built into it too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think you're the ones who crucified Christ. Like, I don't know. It's vaguely anti-Semitic also.
I was going to say, yeah, like we're diving into some territories, but I mean, that's metal.
Easy, Butler. Easy. Yeah, I don't know. That song's just a bummer to me. I wasn't expecting to think that. But the more I listened to it, I was like, I don't think I like this. So we are to best song now.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Do we want a three? What record is yours on?
It's on Paranoid.
Do we want a 3-2-1 this one?
Let's do it.
3-2-1.
War pigs. All right.
Ta-da! Generals gathering with their messes.
This song is. I'm not gonna say it. I won't show it to the alien, but if a demon popped up in my bedroom, it was like, play me the best Sabbath song to let me know who Black Sabbath is. War Pigs, baby.
I've been reserving, like, I think I have, and I was expecting to be as weirdly down on Ozzy Osbourne going into this episode, because I have no, you know, he's great. This is a genuinely good melody. Oh. Like, cool-ass melody.
Everybody shines in this song. Everybody, they all do it just right. Even like when it's like the like bam on the guitar, you know, like it's a perfect little subtlety that gets snuck in there. Now, to be fair, Gizzard has his bass line has to still be kind of a part of it, but his bass is incredible.
Yeah, and the choice of like a few things. One, that they do that little intro. And then they do the guitar, the da-na, and then Bill Ward doing that hi-hat in between to keep, because otherwise it slows it down, right? But that keeps, it
keeps the energy.
Anyone to not be pumped up when that song starts.
And usually you do the hi-hat just to keep everybody in time, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a live thing. You usually cut it on the recording. I'm so glad they keep it in there because I'm like, no, that's part of the percussion.
Yeah, you need the song loses that momentum if you don't have it. And the lyrics on that part specifically, although all the way through, I think the lyrics on this song are genuinely great. I actually love the masses part. What's cool about this is that it's kind of a tag team because keeping the masses is important because it's all about the direct comparison of like military to Satan. Like military is Satan. And the masses have to be there for both, but it feels like a different word because of the melody. Like it actually feels like a rhyme. Masses, masses.
Yeah.
Like it actually works. Like you said, this is one of those songs where you can see all four genuinely doing something cool, but also it's not like a here, let me cook thing. Like it's just the way it works together.
Yeah. They're all in. It's not a like, let's showcase everybody. Let's just all do the right thing, which is the best thing that can happen in any song is when everybody's participating in the right way.
Yeah. Those drum fills Bill Ward does a da na boobadoo, Oh, so good.
Yeah. It's incredible. And that outro part, or not the outro, this is what is it called? The Luke's Wall. Luke's Wall. I hate them for naming the instrument, but that like bam, 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 down, 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 down. That moment's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, that is such a good freaking riff. And in fact, Kenneth and I in a 7-car pileup on the freeway, we absolutely ripped that off. So good.
It almost makes you wish, and I don't know. There's songs on there, like we were just talking about this Iron Man. I'm charmed by times where they choose to just write goofy, weird, like sci-fi, satanic things. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But it's makes you wonder if they had chosen more like this is about Vietnam as much as anything, right?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
If they had chosen to become a more kind of hardline, still drawing from that like occult mythos, but like more songs about things like that. I just wonder, even on this record, how it would have felt. I don't know. It's so good. It feels to me so obviously the best of these four.
Yeah. I kind of figured when you brought up Sabbath, I was like, it's probably going to be War Pigs. And then listening through these four albums, I was like, it is War Pigs. It, like the probably escaped.
Yeah, there's no, I think it's, we've already talked a lot about the opening, but just to like put it into context, they weirdly, I think the first track on the self-titled, that first Black Sabbath, does a cool, like, the way it builds up, the way
it's
it opens.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like that. It's Sabbath.
Right.
You know, that might be the other one that I would show the demon.
I was thinking of that one too, but weirdly, their songs to me don't do that, like, pump up. And like get yourself like again. Mm-hmm. If I was in a live show, like listening to the Donna, I'm in.
Oh, of course,
I'm ready to go.
It's seriously undeniable. The entire song is undeniable. Yeah. I'm really happy, and I did kind of have a suspicion that we were gonna agree on this one.
It figured, yeah. So.
No need to even name any other ones. That is the hands
down. Yeah, I even have, and all the others, I have something else. I just have War Pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Also weird that the System of a Down, why they always send the poor. I'm like, well, yeah, War Pigs did this already. We're fine.
It's perfect. And I really need to establish Snowblind by System of a Down, everybody, is great. Way better than Black Sabbath.
All right. So we are, funny enough, on Worst Album. And
can I just
go ahead. Yeah,
it's four. It's volume four.
I don't have that as my worst anymore. This morning it was my worst.
I think I know what yours is now, because I highly doubt it's the two middle ones.
But so is it for you? Let me put it this way. Is Wheels of Confusion just the microcosm for you for why that record is bad?
It's a It's a catapult
like
into
all the ideas and all the.
It's where ambition becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, like it. Okay, you're going a little too strong on this, and I don't know how you could listen to the previous three albums and think that Volume 4 matches up. Let me go over some of the tracks here. So yeah, Wheels of Confusion, very all over the place. Kind of a boring start. Tomorrow's Dream, kind of another example of we're going to just kind of shift tempos. And it is a little tough for me because I wasn't as familiar with this particular album.
Mm-hmm.
But that also is kind of their fault. like I know I have listened to it in the past, but listening to it again, I'm like, yeah, dude, these songs are hard to follow. They're hard to actually like get something from on an initial listen. And I did tell you that I was only going to listen to it once. I think I was very annoyed after the one listen that I went, I'm not coming back to this. I
do remember that. Yeah,
I did end off listening to it again. Changes is good. Effects, obviously, we
Under the Sun is kind of good. Is that what it is at the very
end? The outro? Yeah. The end of it, I think it does clean up very nicely. But I don't know what to tell you. The picnic was disgusting. You know?
The only reason, it's definitely of these four, it's number three for me. Like an easy number mm-hmm. three. I think it was one of those tricky things where I actually found it to be a more even listen my third and fourth time through it. Like mm-hmm. then I remembered, like, I think there's weird, like, again, like the instrumental things, like the choices they made on how to sequence this record to me are weird. Like putting Changes at number three is weird. Like the whole construction of the album is strange, but the like actual real tracks to me, minus Wheels of Confusion, which I agree is not great.
Mm.
Like Supernaut, I actually think is pretty cool. Like
Supernaut's good.
There's interesting ideas in there for me. My worst album, I just felt like they didn't have enough to make it out. Or maybe they did, they just shouldn't have. I don't know.
Well, it's only five tracks.
It's right? It's Black Sabbath for me. The self-titled. Do you have anything else to cook on for Volume 4? Do you want to listen to it one more time and then talk about it?
I mean, I could say Cornucopia is bad. but no, I've said enough on it. I mean, like Snow, I could go over track for track, but I think we covered plenty of bases. But to go with self-titled,
the first like half, mm-hmm. I think is really good. Minus, like you've said, the like, it's impossible. Also, because what version of this record am I talking about? Like the original European version, North American version, which I initially was like, well, USA, I'll just listen to the North American version. And I think we got the bad version.
Could be.
Like the first like three tracks are like genuinely incredible. Like Black Sabbath, that was my number two for best because it's a thesis statement.
Yeah.
Of doom metal, of like, and it's so like that doom with the first time through, that's when you first hear Tone Iommi give one of those riffs. I'm like, oh, I'm in.
It's incredible, the song Black Sabbath specifically.
Yeah.
And I understand why it's not the best album or why it would be your least favorite out of the four, but it's incredible to think that that was what they started off with.
Yeah.
Like, it's so self-aware.
Yeah.
And I think that's what bothered me about Volume 4, to where I'm like, you lost your self-awareness. You know, it's where ambition just runs into, it turns into a problem.
Yeah. It's a weird, towards the end of it, it just feels like the ideas to kind of help expand things become like an affront to the actual songs. Like the songwriting in the first half, we've talked about War Pigs. That's like a 7-8 minute long track. Black Sabbath is a like 6 minute long track. They can write very good longer songs,
and it fits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it fits of a piece. And then there are others where I'm like, it's too much like us in our early days wanting to just kind of throw a middle, like as like an art statement, throw a uh-huh. middle finger to people listening to us. That I'm like, I don't like looking in this mirror.
It is funny you say that, because there were a couple of times listening to the two middle albums, mm-hmm. you know, Paranoid and Master of Reality. I would always, what would I always say when we just kind of like, fuck it, let's do it. Punk rock.
Punk that's rock. Right. That's right. Yeah. That was our.
I was misusing the term, but that's how I feel about Black Sabbath sometimes, where I'm like, yeah, punk rock, dude, go
punk
for
rock,
it.
Man. Yeah. And even saying this is my least favorite of the four, like, there's still songs in there I would much rather listen to than on volume four. Like, for sure. It's yeah, just I gotcha. Album wise, right? It's always to me like the consistency of it. But
I will say it's the worst ending.
Yeah.
As we have already discussed.
Yeah. That's
too much Iommi. And that's kind of fucked up, because he's a really good guitar player, really good.
Yeah, it's wild that they burned that much good faith that quickly. Yeah. Like, yeah. We are not even done with this record. So I don't think we have the same best.
You might be right. It's a gamble. I mean, clearly it's between two albums, yeah. Everybody.
Mine is Paranoid, okay. Purely for the fact that I can like point. I think I would agree with what I think you're about to say, mm-hmm. that Master of Reality is a better record, and that there is a stronger through line in that record of like, mm-hmm. beginning to end that I can track. But honestly, Paranoid has the better songs for me. That I kind of can't like deny.
It's really hard to deny Paranoid, because Paranoid is like, that's where all the classics are from. What are the top three songs by Black Sabbath? It's going to be War Pigs, Paranoid, and Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the rest of the album slacks.
No, I mean, here I'm bringing up my track list now. My laptop is dead.
But I mean, you get War Pigs, Paranoid, Planet Caravan.
Yeah, which beautiful. Initially I was like, no, thank you. And then like the next time I was like, oh, I get it. I definitely get it. Hand of Doom is cool. Great. And there again, talking about Vietnam.
Yeah.
The Rat Salad, what I wanted to tell you, and this is where I was hinting before at my Led Zeppelin-esque thing. Like, there's, I think Zeppelin clearly does the blues better than Sab does, but mm-hmm. Rat Salad is all I have in my notes is greater than Moby Dick. Like, that solo is great. That
I
is
completely
a genuinely
agree.
Good. And I'm on record, I am not a big rock and roll drum solo.
I'm not
guy.
Huge on drum solos as well. It to me, it's like, you do it live, you don't do it on an album.
Right. That is, those fills are so tight.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a better drummer than I think even like the songs you hear. Like, I think he has a very recycled drum fill style throughout most of these albums. But every now and then you get that like, oh no, he can do more. He's kind of keeping himself in a particular place to let other people shine.
Moby Dick had me rolling my eyes more than once. The book and the solo, but the this one I was like, yes, and 2 minutes in and out. Let's go for it.
I think that's the part I like the most, Dora, is just like, it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get in, I'll show you guys I'm bad. And,
yeah. But most definitely. I think Electric Funeral is the weakest of these to me.
Electric Funeral.
But it redeems itself in the second half. It actually does come back again.
Yeah.
Fairies Wear Boots is funny, like genuinely funny. And I love that riff.
Well, yeah, Jack the Stripper. Well, because I have Jack the Stripper or Fairies Wear Boots, the forward slash.
Right, right. That's like the alternate title or whatever.
But yeah, that riff is undeniable.
Yeah.
You know, you probably, I would argue that if people actually emailed us at no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com, most people would agree Paranoid's the best one.
But it's hard. But I want to cook on Master of Reality.
Master of Reality. It's, I think, and you may not like this in particular, I think the message is so, it's so contained to this album. Like, the album has a message behind it, which is God is good, baby. but like,
Sweet Leaf is a good opener. I love
Sweet Leaf. Sweet Leaf's incredible. I mean, Children of the Grave is got like every track, and I know you chose After Forever, but we can both agree that riff is going, like the band's going here.
I think this is where I can make a nice compromise too. I think instrumentally, yes, this record is stronger.
And I think that's what captivates me on it. Like, you already know, like, lyrics are kind of secondary, especially in a moment like this, to where it, sometimes with Black Sabbath, I'm like, I'm going to leave this as white noise. I don't need this. I don't need to follow the lyrics to figure out what are you exactly trying to talk about.
Yeah.
But this album, it just feels like everything sonically, instrumental decisions, it works so well.
Children of the Grave was almost my underrated, mainly because it's one of those Sabbath songs I've never heard. I would think of it as a deep cut, being a non-Sabbath fan, although I've come to find out it's like sort of perpetually in the top 10 of like best Sabbath songs people love. It's weirdly like a lot of metalcore, like from the 2000s, like Atreyu.
I'm glad you say that, because yeah, that riff, I'm going like, I've heard this riff in so many bands from when we were kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that might be the most revolutionary riff that they have.
It's like, that like punk slash, like, it's speed metal before speed metal.
Yeah. So I'm like, that was unique. Everybody, whoever heard that back in the day, I'm assuming, had to have kind of had that like, whoa, what the hell is this?
Which is where my previous comment about the bad bands that they've spawned, when I hear that riff now in the 2000s, I'm like, so that's as much as that genre has evolved. They've taken these great riffs, done the same riffs, and then put really bad singing behind it. Atreyu sucks. That's all I wanted to say.
Potentially better lyrics, though. I'm just throwing that out there.
Atreyu, well, we're not going to do an Atreyu
episode.
Aren't
you tired of being weak?
So now I just want to do Avenged Sevenfold.
Well, that will not be our
I think I heard Waking the Fallen in here at least once. That's the other riff I've
we got to give Avenged Sevenfold some flowers for that first album or second album. Is it the second album?
I think technically the second. Yeah.
There's some good shit on that.
Gonna give them one flower.
I'll give them one flower. Okay. I'll give them a petal.
I think that's fair. Oh, Lord. No, I think we're in like a 1A, 1B situation with these two.
Fantastic. But hey, best song by them? Undeniable, everybody.
Undeniable.
There's no way somebody is going to send us an email at no.your.write.
Well, yeah, you're right. You just don't know why you're right. But you are correct.
But if they send us, I'm going like, War Pigs isn't the best song.
Even now, I'm getting pumped up thinking about it.
Oh, it's perfect. It's a. Yeah. I would have been down to do a song spotlight episode on War Pigs.
Yeah,
may actually still do it. That could be in the future. Happen. Who knows?
You know. Well, we have anything else to cover for this category section?
I was going to say, I think it's time for a commercial break.
Let's hit up the Blamley, and then we will somehow transform this into an out of 10 rating, which is what we do when we talk about multiple albums.
Yes, just only 1 to 10.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Danko, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
Just, I'm sorry. Now I got a tray you stuck in my head. That's terrible.
Oh, Lord. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Wasn't the lead singer of that named Brandon Saylor? Was that his name?
Wasn't it like the screaming frontman and the drummer sung?
Oh, and here's the thing. I'm about to say like, oh, that was terrible. And then I think,
it was kind of cool.
Sang with you.
You did.
Weren't like screaming. We kind of both did, but
it's one of the first piano lines. It actually might be the only piano part that I've ever played live.
I think we need to leave that time behind. That the drummer, especially the drummer with the headset, who was it that had the Seven Dust, where the drummer had the headset and played?
It's funny you say Seven Dust, because now I'm thinking about the guitarist for Linkin Park. It was a bass player. Well, I think the guitarist for Linkin Park
always
did
have
the headphones on. And also the bass player for... Fuck it, don't care.
I think both of us are like...
It's a bad band that the bass player did the like backpack and fucking headphones and had
the headphone thing again. I never understood with Brad Nilsson. That sounds like such a like middle-aged accountant name. Brad Nilsson.
What's a better name for somebody who's really into bad like nu metal bands than Brad?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
I don't think Brad bespokes a lot of taste.
Sorry to any Brads listening right now.
So out of 10, okay. What would you give? I have my laptop is dead with my notes. So I have a score, but I'm also very willing to change it.
I am going to go very middle of the road, 7.5.
Okay.
Now, there's an opportunity for me to try to talk a lot of trash, but there's kind of this sliding door moment to where if Tony Iommi didn't get his hand kind
his
of
fingertips. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing right. Sheet metal. Would this have ever even happened?
I actually did some digging into in my very, again, this is like something I think when I was young, like a preteen, read about and was just like, that's true. In my head, I was like, oh, Black Sabbath invented drop D tuning, which couldn't be less true. Like there were like minstrels in like medieval Europe that were using drop D tuning.
Oh, for
but
sure.
It was like the down tuning the guitar, right? To that like C minor, whatever it is. Like
yeah, the C sharp.
Yeah. C sharp, right. That whole like soundscape for sure is really cool. I
and
love
it's
the
out
way,
of, go ahead. And it's out of necessity.
Right. Yeah, it's not. It's funny. It's almost isn't. Jimi Hendrix, right? It's kind of the same thing. Like, yeah. What I loved
both
is
lefties.
That when they asked Tony Iommi like what he regrets, he's like, "Oh, I regret cutting my fingertips off. I hate that. I would rather have my fingertips." Like, I think that's so good. I can't remember the context of the question, but he was like, "No, of course I want my fingertips. It's actually very difficult to not have them."
I'm with you, Tony Iommi. That time I stubbed my toe, I really regret that.
They're like, are you happy to endure this, you know, bodily disfigurement? But no, it's very true. And it's also very hard to, like, because the sound is so similar, right? And it mainly is in the riffs, because I think, weirdly, the rhythm section of metal, I'll say it. I don't like double bass. I don't like double bass all that much. There's some cool double bass, like speed metal stuff I think is cool.
You're talking about the kick?
Yeah, double kick. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think the kind of metal, like that doom metal that Sabbath creates, it's actually the metal I can get the most into, is like slow doom metal, like power trio kind of stuff.
Here's the thing is I've always just kind of felt that, like, when people talk about Sabbath, they're like these pioneers of metal. To me, they're not metal. They are classic rock.
It's weird. The line of influence, I guess. But
yeah, and Tori, I'm just like, they have the, like, when they do kind of like the horror soundscapes, you know, when we talk about the first song, Black Sabbath, I'm like, I get it that that's metal, but it's really just kind of a performance. It's a like a performative piece to where it doesn't, I don't know how I could phrase this other than it's like, okay, it's just conveying a dark scenario as opposed to what I think I feel I grew into, like, this is metal. Metal is,
it's hard because I do think, like, again, that first track, right? The way that the guitar, like the like that open D, whatever, like there's definitely like through lines to that I can see to what I think of as modern metal. And I don't think either of us, I'm not actually a metal historian. I know that's a surprise to most people. Like, I don't know.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Takes this up after them to make it more of the metal we're familiar with, but I can see it. Like, I see, I mean, we talked about it with Children of the Grave, right? There definitely is the DNA there. I think what I've heard as the influence, like the legacy that makes the more sense, is like stoner rock, doom stuff, like
yeah,
slow, like, and also like weird, like Kentucky Fried Southern stuff. Like, we can talk with Sweetleaf. I was like, this sounds like Lynyrd Skynyrd almost.
Yeah. Like, when I heard that, I was just like, not that this was the first time hearing it, but like hearing it years and years ago, it's just like, is this metal? I also think that's kind of besides the point. I know that that's part of their legacy, but overall, I just think that Sabbath paved their own way. And Volume 4, I was like, you're going back down to 7.5, guys. I really don't like that album.
I think it's hard to, because we are just doing like the first four of what is in total 19. And to do all 19 and can think of them as the same band, this band is so frustrating to like track. Yeah. We've had a couple bands like this where I'm like, why bother? Like, there's so many different lineups. But this four, and like, you know, the Ozzy years, quote unquote, of Sabbath.
Because we're probably never going to discuss the Dio years.
No,
everybody. Sorry.
I don't have, life is short, but
what did we say? like 14 minutes of my life for the last song on the self-titled. And I'm going, yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the Dio Sabbath.
It's hard, but I got excited. I don't know if this is the first time this has happened. I hope it is. I have a 7.5 in my notes. I think this is this the first like out of pocket rating we both agree on?
Man, it's a lot of episodes.
I think yours was high and started low. I think mine was low and then I started high.
I like that.
So yeah. That's very on brand, but I was like, yeah, I'm happy with that, because you know, like the whole idea of very repetitive, the riffs all start to melt together. How much more can you do with like this kind of drop doing?
Yeah. And that might be something that we're not going to observe. It does seem like Sabbath does expand their sound. They do actually kind of take themselves out of these four albums and go into the Dio era or whatever, you know, to where it's like it's not like they just settled for what they were, but I'm afraid to go into it, because I'm like, I really love the importance of Sabbath and the stuff that I love by them. So 7.5, I'll give them an 8, just anticipating that I'm not going to listen to anything afterwards.
And we have now perfectly encapsulated this podcast. So you have for us the next of the now soon to be no longer discography or partial discography episodes.
Yeah, we are potentially going to, honestly, we just are. I shouldn't say potentially. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to start diving into kind of simplifying to where we can get more to the nitty gritty of what songwriting is behind everything. Yeah. When you have four different albums, it can be a little taxing everybody. All right. We are going, it's only three albums and it is female fronted.
The first, whole?
It is not whole.
Okay, moving on.
I think they have more than three albums.
I mean,
all right.
Is first, it garbage?
It is not garbage.
Okay, I'm gonna stop just guessing female fronted bands now.
Do you want any more? All right. First hint is Stairway to Heaven. I love the grin I have on my face. Very few people, I will say, this is a little bit of a more unknown band, but I think you know them, and I think I've told you before, this is the band that I'm like, I discovered this myself.
Oh, wait.
Okay. You may have it already.
No, I don't know. I can't remember the name is the problem.
That's great. All right. Well, then let's, you know, I'll try to keep it a little simple for you. Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a problem because it's like on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, let's see here. I think if Max is listening right now, which, by the way, everybody, next episode we're doing Bohemian Rhapsody with Max.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Max probably already has it now. Oh, what's a good? Let's go with. Oh, this might be a little too much of a giveaway. Get Awkward.
Shoot. Yes. I feel like I want to get credit for knowing this band, even though I have officially forgotten the name of this band.
I think you do know the name of the band. Do you know the name of the female artist?
I know it's Be Your Own Pet.
It's Be Your Own Pet. Okay. That's right.
Because you have talked to me about this band a lot. This is actually, alongside the Arctic Monkeys, this is one of those bands that you have been, I almost used the word pestering, but that's not accurate. You have not been pestering me. You have been, from the early days of our friendship, telling me about this band, and I have very generously not listened to them as you have asked me to.
I like you say generously. Well, and you know what? On the plus side, too, it is very, very simple to listen to them, because first album, 33 minutes. Second album, 29 minutes.
Can I get a preliminary question? Give me the third album.
The third album is 35 minutes, but I have not listened to this album.
Okay.
And it's released in 2023. So that's kind of a cool aspect to it, where it's like, okay, we're probably going to hate this album.
This is my culture Robis. We will dislike the third album the most. Mm-hmm. That was my culture Robis.
Ooh, dude. When we were talking about doggerel lyrics earlier, their second album is the most trite, obvious rhyme schemes.
Let's rock and roll.
Possibly can run into.
Let's rock and roll. I'm excited.
They're a very fun band. Yeah.
Man. All right. Well, people, this is exciting. Be Your Own Pet. Listen to Bohemian Rhapsody and Dodgers 1-8-2.
Hey.
I'm going to put this here. If you would like to listen to The Cocky Tree, my new record, please go to my Bandcamp. But otherwise,
we haven't talked about that at all.
No, we haven't. And people, do it if you'd like.
It's a really good album. It's a really... Fuck you, Colton. Don't give me that face. Don't give me that face. It's a really good album.
Da, da, da. I can't remember the sound that our music makes when we go out.